The following audio is from Fathom Church in downtown Littleton, Colorado. More information about Fathom can be found at fathomchurch.org.
Thank you, Justin. I'm gonna take a deep breath as I take a moment to just tell you how excited I am to be here. I feel like it is a great opportunity for me, and probably one of the number one reasons for the great opportunity, or me seeing it as a great opportunity, is I've been here the last couple weeks, the last 2 weeks. I've been able to join you in worship the last two 9 o'clock services, and through that and the people that I've had opportunity to meet, I am absolutely convinced that this is a great place, that God is doing an incredible work here at Fathom. And as you can tell by my look, I've been around the block a time or two. And I have been very impressed with what I have seen. Just my heart just welled up the very first time I was here and was really excited about what God is doing here. Independent of what God does with me here, God is doing a great work. And for that, I'm really excited. It just really lifts me up to see such a great thing happening here. Old Town Littleton, where you are, just kind of blew me away. And the fact that you are here and there are such significant things happening from the Lord is just amazing. And I'm also very delighted to be here because really of the process that I have gone through as a candidate, as an associate pastor candidate for Fathom. Really, every step of the way, I have been truly impressed. And I think that's important for you guys to hear from my side because your leadership has done an amazing job. I've been very impressed. And probably the thing that has impressed me the most, and when I would go home and talk to my wife about it, is it's been very evident that God has been given permission to lead. And again, as you can tell by my look, I've seen a lot of search processes. I've been through different situations where that is not always the case. Sometimes all of us in our fallenness can get in the way of what God wants to do. And I believe that God is at work. And so I'm here. This may be the last time you guys see me. That may be what happens. But I trust that to the Lord, and I know that Fathom and the leadership, I know that all of you can trust that to the Lord too, and for that, I'm really excited. Simultaneously to God doing an amazing work here at Fathom, God has been doing an amazing work in the life of my family, and God has taken us through some really unique twists and turns in the last 14, 15 months. And I don't have time to share all of that, but I am going to tell you one very interesting twist that has just come across our radar in the last 2 weeks. 2 weeks ago, Saturday, so that was 2 weeks ago yesterday, my wife and her business partner opened a cake shop in Cherry Creek Mall. I think she would tell you, if she were standing here with me, she would say, it's kind of the dumbest thing we've ever done. And we never in our wildest dreams thought, we didn't aspire to open a cake shop. But it's what God has put in front of us. And I tell you that, one, because it's crazy, and because God, it's only by God. And two, because as soon as this service is over, my wife's got to take off and go open a cake shop. And so you're not going to get a chance to get to talk to her and have the opportunity to meet her. But I will introduce her. She's right here in the second row. That's my wife, Laura. We've been married almost 27 years. And, you don't know it all, but you are clapping for her that we have been married for 27 years. There's no doubt she's my best friend and my greatest asset. And so I'm thrilled that she could be here this morning because honestly, it was up in the air just because of the demands of what we find ourselves in at the cake shop. And then sitting next to her are our twins, Madeline and Tanner. They just turned 19 yesterday, and they They, with their big brother, their older brother, his name is Taylor, and his wife, Jackie, they live in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and he serves as youth pastor at a church that I was serving in. He and I, really by God's blessing, we got to serve together for 18 months together there in Cheyenne before God brought us back to Colorado. And they are expecting our first grandchild in May, so we are very, very excited. Parenting, you know, is good. But grandparenting, as I understand, is way better. And so yes, I see some heads nodding that that is for sure the case. So we cannot wait for that. My family is a huge part of my story, and really I've learned over the years how important they are, and hopefully daily get better at making them the priority that they need to be. But another huge part of my story is my love for people. In my ministry experience, that has been the one kind of mark of my ministry that has been, I would say, I guess, I'm most proud of, and I feel like God has most directed. I believe that God is certainly all about his people. We're going to see that in what we look at today, and that is a huge part of my heart. And because of that, I want us to take a look at a passage, as Justin said, in Ezekiel chapter 34, and it's a chapter on shepherding. And if I were to tell you what I felt like my strongest gift was, I would say that my strongest spiritual gift is shepherding. And I say that with fear and trembling a little bit as we take a look at what God's going to say about shepherding in this passage. So Ezekiel 34, many of you I can hear are already turning your Bibles there. If you don't have a Bible, we would love for you to follow along. I would love for you to follow along. And so there's a Bible underneath your chair you can use. Actually, I am going to be using that Bible. So Ezekiel 34 is on page 722. And if you do not have a Bible, we would love for you to take one of these Bibles as a gift from Fathom to you. So Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1, before I read, I just want to pray probably for me and for all of us. So let's pray. God, as we have heard already, this is an opportunity for you to speak to our hearts. So we continue in worship as we hear from you. And so, God, we ask that you be our teacher. And I ask, God, that you would use me as just a mouthpiece and that you would have our way, that you would have your way in our midst this morning. In Christ's name, amen. So Ezekiel 34, beginning in verse 1, says, "The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God. Ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them." In these first 10 verses, we hear a strong message. A strong message that God has appointed Ezekiel to deliver to these shepherds. Now, first, let me say that these are not literal shepherds feeding literal sheep or not feeding literal sheep. But it is a picture that really resonated with those that he is addressing, these shepherds. They understood the analogy. And probably even as we all read it, we understand the analogy that there is one who's responsible for those that are in, that he is entrusted to take care of, the shepherd and the sheep. And these hearers, the shepherds, they're getting a word very different to what we would be accustomed to hearing this time of year, right? Because at the announcement of Christ's birth, the angel comes and talks to the shepherds and says, I give you good news of great joy. Well, as we've just read, that is not at all what this message is about. This is a message of strong rebuke. And God is using Ezekiel to express his high disappointment in their lack of shepherding. And really, it's very concise at the very beginning in verse 2. Ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? Isn't that the responsibility of the shepherd? It's to take care of the sheep. Those entrusted to be cared for by that shepherd, that's the job. It's almost like, well, duh. Isn't that what a shepherd's supposed to do? And yet they are not doing it. And right at the very beginning, you have been feeding yourselves. So they have lost their focus or turned their focus inward. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. So there's a charge in the New Testament that corresponds to the lack of responsibility that we see here in Ezekiel 34. The shepherds are not paying attention to those that they are supposed to be caring for. They are looking at themselves. And Paul gives it to us succinctly in humility. That humility, the idea of humility, of us thinking not as highly of ourselves, being able to kind of lay ourselves down or our thoughts of ourselves down and focus on others. That's the role of a shepherd. And it's a role, it's really the objective for all of us as Christ followers, that's how we would see others in humility, that we would see them as more significant than ourselves. But these shepherds, they didn't get that. And probably every one of you in here, we can all identify with those times when we have lost focus or we've looked at ourselves and thought, it doesn't matter. I want what I want and I want it now. And then we take that step to go get whatever that might be. Because there are times that all of us can fall into just that trap. But the hope is that it doesn't sustain, it doesn't last a long time. Just the other day when I was working at the cake shop, I was kind of out close to the front of the store, and this little toddler comes racing right out in front of the store. And he's maybe two and a half years old, and he's booking it. I mean, he's just running, and we are located pretty close to the play place, and he's running away from the play place. And all of a sudden, these two finely dressed women, actually they are women that work there in the mall, they're chasing after this little guy. And so within moments, they pick him up, they grab him, and then within a minute, they have found a police officer, and they hand the child over to the police officer. And I'm thinking, what in the world is going on? So I kind of sit, pretend I'm working, but I'm watching, and all of a sudden, and I say all of a sudden, it really took about 10 to 15 minutes before the dad gets reunited with the son. And I can't tell you what the dad was doing for sure. But what I can tell you is he lost focus of who he was entrusted to care for. He lost focus. And again, I'm not throwing a stone at him because it's happened to me before. But again, the hope is that it's momentary and that quickly we snap back into what God has for us, his desire that we would see others as more significant than ourselves, that we would take care of those that we are entrusted to care for. But these shepherds, man, they stayed in it. It wasn't a momentary lapse. They stayed fixated on their selfishness. And we see that as we continue to read. Look at verse 3. You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. Not only are they selfish, but they are using the sheep to feed their selfishness. So those that they are entrusted to care for, they are using them to better themselves. Certainly not a good example. Certainly not the role of the shepherd, right? The exact opposite. They're not feeding the sheep. They're using the sheep to feed themselves. And because of that, I don't know about you, but it just breaks my heart, because what we see in this passage is that then the weak stay weak, the sick stay sick, the injured still injured, the strayed not brought back, and the lost still lost. And I told you I have a heart for people, and I bet many of you in the room, as you're reading this, you're thinking, how could it get that bad? How could these shepherds be that negligent? How could they drop the ball that bad? And honestly, folks, I don't know. But there is one thing that I kind of can compare this to. I mentioned that we were in Cheyenne, I'm a native of Colorado, and never would I live in Wyoming. And if you're from Wyoming, please forgive me, but I will say it was the greatest 8 years of our life as far as ministry was concerned. An unbelievable place for us, and God did an amazing work in our lives, for sure. But when we moved there, we thought, well, you know, when you're in Wyoming, do as Wyoming. And so we made some wild decisions, and one of them was allowing my daughter to show sheep in the county fair. We are very much city folks. I grew up in Aurora. I grew up in the hood. Yes, I did. And so we are very much city folks. But we decided, yeah, let's give it a shot. Well, on one occasion, and it wasn't my daughter's team or the group that she was showing sheep with, but another group that was right before her or right after her, I can't remember. But as they were showing the sheep, one sheep got its leg twisted up and dropped to the dirt, okay, there in this arena, and started to scream out. In that moment, everything stopped. There was no noise. Everybody absolutely focused right in on this sheep. People raced out there, took care of the sheep. It was really pretty impressive to see. But then you contrast that with what we're reading about here. It's not sheep, it's people, and these shepherds turn a deaf ear. So mindful of themselves that they miss the hurt, the broken. I can't even fathom that. Sorry to use that word. I can't comprehend how that could happen. And of course, it's almost as if God can't either. And certainly he is completely, completely disappointed. And what they are doing, they're using force and harshness to rule. So when you think of a shepherd's staff, I get the idea that they are beating the sheep, figuratively, not literally, but they are beating those that they are entrusted to care for. They're beating them. And when I think about that in my own life, when does harshness and force come out of me? It's when I'm not getting my way. It's when I want things to go my way and they're not. That's what happens when I can get forceful or harsh with my kids. They're not doing exactly what I want them to do. That's when it happens. That's what's happening with these shepherds. They're overtaken by their selfishness. Completely overtaken. Verse 6, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek them. Here is, I think, we begin to see why God is so upset with the shepherds. Three times here in these two verses, God bemoans the fact that his sheep are scattered. brokenhearted, I believe, that this is where his sheep are. They are scattered. And so the verses preceding, here is why. Because God loves his sheep. He doesn't want them to be scattered. He wants them to be taken care of. He wants them to be held tightly together, to be bonded. That's God's heart, his love for the sheep. And let me stop right now. This is Ezekiel. This is Old Testament. But today, God has the same heart for his sheep. He loves his sheep. And his heart breaks when his sheep are not being taken care of. And so that is why you can see that he is kind of all fired up. And he gets succinct again, therefore, in verse 7 through verse 10. You shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey, and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, and since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. God says, so here's what I'm going to do about it. You guys are blowing it. And I am going to pull you from your responsibility. And a couple interesting things in these verses. First, verse 7 and verse 9, the exact same words. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. The idea of hear right there is that we would understand, that we would comprehend. So he's urging through Ezekiel that these shepherds would hear and understand what he's saying. Now, those of you that are parents in the room, you might remember that first time that your son or daughter, you know, just took off and tried to run across the street. You drop everything immediately, and I can remember the very first time that our oldest did it, that I had to drop everything, and I grabbed him by the shoulders, and I got down eye level with him, and I said, son, you can't do that. It was imperative that he understood what I was about to say. Now, you look at this passage, and you think, why on earth would these shepherds need that kind of hand-grabbing, that shoulder-grabbing? Why would they need that? Folks, they're absorbed in themselves. I mean, every time we hear from the Word of the... And every time we hear from God's Word, we want to listen in and understand with comprehension. But sometimes God needs to grab our shoulders, doesn't he? Sometimes that's just what he needs to do. And that's definitely what he's doing here with the shepherds. And he tells them, he says, I'm turning my back. I'm done with you. And in verse 10, I will require my sheep at their hand, and I will put a stop. That idea of require I will require the sheep at their hand, I will hold them accountable for what has happened to the sheep. They will account for their negligence. They will answer for what they have done. That's God's strong promise right here to these shepherds. They will answer for it. And he is removing them. I find it very interesting, just back up in verse 8, he says, since there was no shepherd. There were shepherds, folks, but they weren't shepherding. So in other words, there wasn't a capable shepherd to be found because no one was doing what they were supposed to be doing as leaders, taking care of those that God had entrusted that he'd take care of. They weren't doing it. So he removes them. And so now we get to the good part of the story, because this is kind of, a bummer that all these shepherds are so horrible. But God has a plan. Verse 11, for thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep. I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. So there is an upgrade that God is going to bring. He's bringing himself. He now becomes the shepherd. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 11. It's important that we turn there because this is just great news for all of us. John chapter 10, verse 11. Five great words that we hear from Jesus at the beginning of the verse. He says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. He is the replacement, the upgrade. The children of Israel in Ezekiel 34, they got God as their shepherd. Today we have God as Jesus, as the good shepherd. He is ultimately the one to take care of us. And that is so important that we get that. If there's nothing else that we get today, it is that God is who we need to look to take care of us. Ultimately, he's the one that's never going to leave us, never going to forsake us, never going to let us down. He knows how to shepherd. He is the greatest example, and he is the shepherd for everyone who claims the name of Jesus Christ. See, as you read the rest of this verse, it says, Jesus says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. That's exactly what Jesus did on the cross. And so everyone who trusts Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we have Jesus as that good shepherd. He is ours forever in that place to take care of us. We are his sheep, and he is the good shepherd. What great news for us. As it was for the people in Israel, as we go back, we see again those two verses that we just looked at, that God himself will search for the sheep and he will seek them out. And he will bring back those that are scattered. He will search for them. Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep, to me gives such a great picture of what this looks like and the commitment of a shepherd. Luke 15, verse 3, it says, so he told them this parable. This, of course, is Jesus. He said, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep. I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. The same analogy here in the New Testament in Luke, Jesus is using the same analogy, the shepherd and the sheep, talking about people and God's relentless pursuit of those who are far from him. And as a shepherd, he wants to find. The Bible tells us that his desire is that none would perish. And that God is the one that does the seeking. As that good shepherd, that he is true to his character, folks. And he continues to seek. What a great picture. And isn't it great that at the very beginning, what man of you having 100 sheep? So in a sense, if you're a shepherd, of course you're going to leave the 99 and go get the one. Of course, it goes without saying. That's what shepherds do. But it's not what they did in Ezekiel 34. God replaces them and puts himself in that position. Let's continue in verse 13. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land, and I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land and on rich pasture. They shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. He will gather them all together. He will feed. He feeds. And as we think about the parallel, the fact that we have Jesus as our good shepherd, folks, he feeds. God feeds. This is his word to feed us as his sheep, to give us the nourishment that we need. He is faithful to feed. His desire is to gather. It's interesting that he says that he will make them lie down. He will give them the rest that maybe they don't even want to have on their own, but that they need. Because as the good shepherd, he gives us what we need, not necessarily what we want. That's what this shepherd is doing for the sheep in Ezekiel. That's what the good shepherd does for us. He gives us what we need because he loves us more than we can love ourselves. He is our good shepherd. And in great, to me, verse 16 has been one of the verses that has always been one that has wrapped it all up, given us a summary of what God as the good shepherd does. Verse 16 says, I will seek the lost and I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured and I will strengthen the weak. And the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. The shepherd will be just. He will be fair. And he will treat things the way they need to be treated. In righteousness, in justice, he will shepherd. And it, of course, all the first part of the verse kind of highlights all the things that the other shepherds were not doing, seeking the lost, bringing the strayed, binding up the injured, all those things that the shepherd promises to do. That's what God does. But I want you to notice that he also talks about the fat and the strong and says, I will destroy the fat and the strong. It comes back to that God cares about his sheep. And so if there's sheep beating up other sheep, God doesn't tolerate. And he is not going to stand for that. And that's a reminder for all of us as we call ourselves Christians, if we have that relationship with Christ, then we need to care about everybody else who has that same relationship with Jesus Christ. Not that we don't need to care for everybody else, because we do, but God's going to deal more harshly with us when we're beating our own. The fat and the strong, they're taking down the weak to build themselves up, just like the shepherds were doing. God won't stand for that either. He will not stand for that. The great news for us this morning is that we have a good shepherd. And this gives us a picture of what that good shepherd is not, because he is not like those that have been removed. But he is like what is described in verse 16 in the culmination of it. And that's our first takeaway. We all, if you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you have Jesus as your good shepherd. He is your ultimate shepherd. He's the one that you can go to get the care you need. One of the things that actually my wife and I have learned to, kind of in our marriage over and over, and in one dramatic time, but over and over again, we have concluded over and over again that God has got to be it for us. Laura cannot be it for me. She can't be my shepherd. She can't. And although I said she's my greatest asset, she can't be my shepherd. Why? Because she's going to make mistakes. Very few. But she's going to make mistakes. But there is a great shepherd who we need to look to first. Our second point of application is the fact that although God is our good shepherd, Jesus, the good shepherd, He does establish shepherds here on earth. He does entrust people to care for his sheep. If you're still in Ezekiel, just down the chapter a little bit in verse 23, God says, "And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." So even then, God says, "I'm going to shepherd them." But in other words, I'm going to shepherd them through David. So he set up a physical shepherd to take care of the sheep, to lead the people of God. That still happens here today. And as I mentioned to you guys at the very beginning, how impressed I was with the leadership of Fathom, that is primarily, I had a great opportunity to meet with the staff, and I was thrilled with my opportunity to have time with them, loved them. It was wonderful. But then to have the opportunity to meet with the elders and to see how they were leading, I was really excited, and as I mentioned that. But folks, they are the ones that God has established here to be the shepherds of the Fathom flock. They've been entrusted to do that. And like I said, I feel like they're doing a good job. They did not pay me to say that. They didn't even know I was going to bring them up. But reality is, it comes with the territory. And so what I mean by that is, folks, this is their job description from the scripture, that they would take care of the sheep. And right now here at Fathom, there are four elders. And if you do not know them, I encourage you to get to know them. Like I said, I've just had a little bit of time with them. But those four are Chris, the lead pastor, Chris Martin. He is an elder. Justin Rounds, who was up here. Nathan Jones and Eric Shelley. The four elders, shepherds that have been established by God through this body to lead. And I bring that up because really, here is their job description. So pray for them because, my goodness, it's a difficult job description. But in my interactions with these men, they take it very seriously. And I am thrilled that that's where Fathom finds herself today, with leaders that are very conscientious of their responsibility. It's a tall order. So pray for them and allow them to lead, and you bring the support that you can, so that they can be the leaders that God has set them up, has established them to be. The third point of application, and it's a little personal. I chose this passage because my heart's desire is to shepherd people. And just like I've just talked about these four men, and not that I'm putting myself in the category of elder, but I will tell you that it's my heart desire to represent this passage when we see God taking the reins, the affirmative side of shepherding. That's my promise, should God bring me as associate pastor, that I will do my very best through the strength of the Lord as the head shepherd. I will do my best to shepherd the flock that God entrusts to my care. And you know what, folks? That may be the people at Cherry Creek Mall, because maybe I'm not the associate pastor here. But if I am the associate pastor here, that's my commitment. If I'm at the Cherry Creek Mall, that's going to be my commitment to the folks at the Cherry Creek Mall. Because that's my heart, and it's important for you guys to know that. And the last point of application. The last point of application is, I believe that God has entrusted every one of us with people that we are to care for. Every one of you in this room have people that you should and can shepherd. You know, last week when Chris was talking about teaching, he talked about certainly his role, but then he kind of went on to talk about all the other people that teach here at Fathom, with Luke on the worship team and Libby and Julie in children's ministry, all the D group leaders. They're all shepherds. They're all responsible to take care of those that are entrusted to them, every one of them. But all of you in here that are parents, your children, God has entrusted them to your care. You are responsible to shepherd them. and you'll be held responsible for the job you do. And what about the people you work with? You as a Christ follower, the people that you work with, maybe they're far from God, then God is entrusting you to help care for them spiritually. Gives you an opportunity to shepherd them. So in closing, I just want to read it one more time, verse 16. I will seek the lost. I will bring back the strayed. I will bind up the injured. I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. But his desire for every one of us in this room is that we would shepherd those that he has entrusted to our care. Would you pray with me? Father, we are blown away that you love us so much to care for us like you do. And God, to be honest, when we think about sheep, we know they're not the smartest of animals. And God, sometimes us as your kids, we're not the smartest. And oh, how we need your shepherding. So we thank you, God, that you, Jesus, are our good shepherd. And God, I pray that leaning into you as the good shepherd, seeing you as our greatest example, that we in turn would shepherd those that you have entrusted to our care. God, my heart is for Fathom, for your work here. That shepherding would be would burst out, and that it would continue to grow. And God, that as a result, there would be more and more and more sheep that are becoming shepherds. God, continue your mighty work. And Lord, we are convinced that your will is the best. And so we pray that your will would be done. We love you, God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.